Orlando tapped the step with his axe handle.
What's it doing down there? Are they the cellar steps?
Jabez Stump looked about the copse.
No, they couldn't be. If this Loamhead's place had been destroyed, the land would have been covered in debris and great building stones. This must have happened at the Dancing of the Cliffs.
Orlando scratched his stripes.
I'm completely baffled now. An abbey called Loamhedge that was here but isn't now, and Dancing of the Cliffs. What's it all about?
We Stumps lived in South Massflower by the cliffs longer than any beast,
Jabez explained.
My old grandpa used to tell me about the days of Josh Stump, his great-great-great-grandpa. They say one day, long ago, our family lived atop of that cliff, but it started a shaking and trembling as if the whole cliffs were dancing. When it stopped, old Josh Stump, he said, I won't live atop of no dancing cliffs no more, and he took the family to live down in Massflower Woods. Never a stump went up him again, until I did to search for young Jube.
Recognition dawned upon Matthias.
Of course! It must have been an earthquake long ago. That was what caused the great gorge we crossed. Yes, and those gardens we passed through. No creature ever had gardens and orchards on such bumpy land. The earth had shifted. You see what happened? Loamhedge Abbey must have been swallowed up when the ground moved. These steps would be dormitory stairs or attic steps, and the whole building must have just dropped straight down into its own cellars, maybe even further with the great weight of it all.
Ironbeak was determined to confront the ghost. He gave the sentries a night off, taking Mangies with him. He stood at the sentry post in the galleries as the last crimson sunburst hit the windows of Redwall Abbey, bathing the floor in a glorious deep rose-coloured light. Mangus watched it through swollen eyelids.
Mayhap the mouse in armour will not walk until the middle of the night, my general,
he said wearily.
Yarrah! Mayhap it does not walk at all, fool. Mayhap it does not exist. That is what I brought you here to prove. Tired eyes of dozy rooks will see frogs fly or stones lay eggs. I am Ironbeak. I know better than to believe such things. So should you.
Mangus held his counsel, deciding discretion was the better part of valour. The sparrow, who had been watching them from a slit window, made his report to Cornflower and Constance.
Bird say you no come. Black crow worm no so sure. Both wait above great hall place now.
Baby Rollo was having imaginary adventures dressed in the helmet of the warrior. He waved the sword frantically, singing aloud.
Kill a bird without a word. Hit a black rook with a heavy book. Bang a crow and make him go.
Cornflower relieved him of the wooden sword.
Stop waving that thing about, Rollo. You'll put some beast's eye out with it. So, the general is waiting for the ghost to walk again. Let him wait. When it gets dark enough, you won't be disappointed. The spirit of Martin the Warrior will roam abroad.
Constance gently polished the burnished breastplate.
You must be careful. He won't be as easy to fool as those two last night. I think we need a more intricate plan this time.
Cornflower laughed.
Good. Then let's sit here a good long while and think up a clever scheme. Don't forget, it was our turn on supper duty tonight, but we'll be excused because we're working for the Abbey war effort. John Churchmouse and Ambrose Spike will have to cook the supper.
Constance stifled a giggle.
Oh, no! John and Ambrose! There'll be war in the kitchen when those two meet over the cooking pots. Right, down to business. Let's get our thinking caps on.
The rooks of General Ironbeak were perched in the dormitory. They listened in awed silence as Grubclaw and Ragwing related their encounter with the Abbey ghost, especially as the two rooks were not above adding bits to make it a good story, now that Ironbeak and Mangies were not there.
It was dark out there last night. I could feel in my feathers that something was going to happen.
Ragwing began.
Me too. It was darker and gloomier than the bottom of a Northland well. So Ragwing and I stood sentry with beaks and claws at the ready for any funny business, didn't we, Bird?
Grubclaw added.
Aye, we did that. Then suddenly, Grabclaw says to me, Ragwing, Can you see that shadow down there?
How could you see a shadow if it was pitch black?
O'Rourke interrupted.
Well, it was the moonlight coming in through the windows. Yes, that's right. It was the moonlight. Anyhow...
The Rook busted in again.
Gah! What a load of old eggshells. It was dark as a Northland well, but with moonlight shining through the windows.